Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. In fact, this is love for God, to keep his commands. And his commands are not burdensome, for everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. He did not come by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three that testify, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And the three are in agreement. We accept human testimony, but God's testimony is greater, because it is the testimony of God, which he has given about his Son. Whoever believes in the Son of God accepts this testimony. Whoever does not believe God has made him out to be a liar, because they have not believed the testimony God has given about his Son. And this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life.
Thank you very much, Jen. Let me pray as we start. Heavenly Father, please would you grant us ears to listen and hearts that are soft and take in your word today as we hear your word. Please, Lord, would you cause us to go out from today, having heard your word, Lord, living it out, acting it out, and not just letting it bounce off us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we saw earlier something of the challenge John's readers are having to front up to. The false teachers, he calls them the Antichrists, they say, God didn't really come in the flesh in the person of his Son Jesus. Oh, that's crazy. Or Jesus was just a man. God would never be a man. Do you see pressure to reject Jesus' unseen divinity and instead go with some more popular, visible, impressive, but false version of the Christian faith? Chapter 4, verse 5. If you've got your Bibles, you can just flick back there. The false teachers are from the world and therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to them. It's popular. And for us, our faith can equally feel weak and feeble and invisible compared with the ways of thinking that our world values. Look at the TikTok videos that present success as that perfect look that draws all the likes. Or the fakery at the school gate as parents present that picture of a perfect home life, whatever the reality. Or the TV look of stars who get old while still having their looks and their health. When those reflect the values of the world, it feels like as a church like Emmanuel, with a hodgepodge of struggling, unimpressive people and lives which are all too often feel dysfunctional, and a saviour whom we can't see now, well, it can feel like we're invisible and small. And that's all the more the case when the idea of being restrained as we seek to live by some ancient book is just slavery and bigotry to a culture where following your own desires leads to happiness. And so we get to chapter 5, and John wants to reassure his readers. He wants them to be sure their faith really is authentic, even though it's unseen for now. Even though it's unimpressive. Yes, they believe Jesus is the Christ. They obey God's commands. They love their brothers and sisters. It's authentic faith, but they need reassurance. Is their faith really the genuine article? Is it really worthwhile? Well, these are the issues at stake, and John responds with three reassurances. Midway through verse 4, should be on the screen, highlighted there. This is the victory that has overcome the world. Then verse 11, and this is the testimony God has given us, eternal life, and this life is in his Son. And also verse 14, it's beyond the end of our passage. This is the confidence we have. It's maybe not obvious in our translation, but it's the same phrase in the original Greek. And this is. It makes the point, look at this. Three reassurances. And the third one we'll see more of next week. But the first two we're going to look at in our short time left this morning. First, is our faith authentic? Is it the real deal? Yes. Reassurance one, our faith in Jesus brings us victory over the world. Verse 4 again. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. For the believer, feeling as though their faith is weak and unimpressive compared to the false teachers and the culture of the world we live in, this is a powerful statement. Is their faith authentic, the real deal? Yes. Because who is it that overcomes the world? A world that values the impressive, the strong, the popular? Well, it's just this same faith that John said throughout his letter is authentic. Verse 5, believing that Jesus is the Son of God. Now notice that this is not a faith that believes one day and then doesn't the next. It's not a faith that believes just when life has turned bad and I need help. No. Believing that Jesus is the Son of God here, well, it's a settled, ongoing faith and trust in Jesus through thick and thin. That faith might feel unimpressive. It might feel weak and feeble. It might feel totally unvictorious. But even our faith, he says, even that kind of weak feeling faith, even our faith overcomes the world. And it overcomes the world not because the faith is strong. No, like we're putting our trust in the chairs we're sitting in right now, our faith in Jesus overcomes because the one we put our faith in is strong. I guess we're often desperate to see some token of victory now. But our faith is currently in someone, well, it's on someone unseen. Yet, isn't it true though? The reality of our experience, even the most significant moments of many of our lives, for those of us who trust in Christ, well, the reality is unvictorious. God has used unvictorious families, unvictorious churches to bring us to Christ. That's how God works. Is our faith authentic? Is it the real deal? Unquestionably, yes. But the question then, second question, is it worth it? Is it worth it? Our reassurance two, our faith in Jesus brings us eternal life. It might sound obvious, but just think, look at this for a minute. Verse 11, and this is the testimony God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Eternal life in his Son. Our faith in him brings us eternal life. Now notice two things about this eternal life. First, this eternal life here is not just the promise of living with God for eternity sometime in the future. No, it's the promise of life in his Son. And that is life that starts the day we accept Jesus. Life in Jesus is reality now, even if it doesn't feel or look impressive. Reality now and into eternity. Again, this is the real deal. Secondly, do you see how this verse shows us what the essence of faith is? It's not something we produce from inside us. No, it's accepting a gift. Christmas is on the way, isn't it? But God has given us eternal life, the best gift of all. That's the only way it could be. Eternal life can only come from the one who is himself, eternal. And so for John's readers, for us, is it worth it? Yup. This faith in Jesus is the only way to receive eternal life. As he puts it in verse 12, whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. It might feel unimpressive. It might feel like the ways the world thinks delivers results. But it's only this ongoing faith in Jesus that really delivers. I wonder where I might need to remember this. Maybe I'm tempted to imagine that the world's methods and popularity are what's needed for the good news to win through. John says no. It's simple. Whoever has the Son has life. Finally, did you notice how verse 11 starts? And this is the testimony. You see, giving us confidence in both reassurances, testifying to them, in fact, are verses 6 to 10. We can be triply sure of these reassurances. I think triply is a word in the English language. I hope it is. But as we saw earlier with Sarah, verse 7, there are three that testify. The Spirit, the water, and the blood. And the three are in agreement. But do you see why they witness to these two reassurances? Remember, the water is, it's over there now, it's gone. The water is Jesus' baptism, where God spoke from heaven and said, "This is my Son." Jesus was God right from the beginning, contrary to a world that says that Jesus isn't divine. The blood is the blood of the divine Son of God shed on the cross. And without his blood, and only his blood, eternal life can't be given. Our sin will just be left unpunished unless God himself deals with it. And he did. And then the Spirit is the Spirit given by Jesus to teach the apostles, inspire the scriptures, and bring us to believe his gospel. And so the three together ram home the point, faith in this Jesus, the one who was God and is God, and who died for us, and to whom the Spirit testifies in the scriptures and in our hearts. Faith in this Jesus is the only authentic faith. Faith in him is the only faith that can give us eternal life. You see, our faith is rooted in objective, historical realities. Even though it's in one who is unseen for now, or even though we might feel unimpressive. And these are here as reassurances for believers unsure of their faith in a world that's hostile to them. A world that prizes the seen over the unseen. So when my classmates at school chuckle at the idea of believing in Jesus, or quietly mock God's existence, I'm to be reassured. Faith in this Jesus, God come to earth in the person of his Son, is real, and it delivers. When my boss puts pressure on me to compromise ethically or in my use of time, I'm to be reassured. I don't need his approval. Faith in this Jesus, the divine Son of God, who died on the cross even for me, that faith is real and it delivers. Or when my family lay the pressure on me to use whatever time and money God's given me to build up my or my family's future security, rather than be bothered about God's concerns, well, no, I'm to be reassured. I have all the security I need because faith in this Jesus, the one in whom I've been given eternal life, that faith is real and it delivers. Well, let's pray before our final song. Heavenly Father, we praise you that faith in Jesus, faith that believes Jesus is the Son of God, that obeys your commands, that loves other believers. Thank you, Father, that faith like that means that we can be sure we have eternal life and that we have overcome the world, not because we are strong, but because the one in whom we have our faith, the Lord Jesus, risen from the dead, because he is strong. Father, we praise you for those reassurances. In Jesus' name, amen.